This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Through the Ringer. I'm your host, Tate Frazier, and it is Friday, so you know what that means. Nora is on the line, and she is here, and the wall behind her is looking beautiful, not barren, beautiful. Nora, great to see you.
Hi, Tate. this afternoon, not long after we log off of this, I'm going to walk across the street to the framing store on my block and pick up a large framed photograph. I had it on Instagram at the framing store like a week ago. I don't know if you saw it, or maybe it was two weeks ago.
I did see it.
We're
and I was getting very
it.
Excited.
I swear we're working on it.
I think it's happening, and I believe. And in the NFL, we're working on things all the time. All these teams are improving, and I got the power ranking. So let's talk about the top. We got the 49ers right now. They're 9-3, but they dominate the Eagles. Now they're number one in the Ringers power rankings. We got our Ravens. I'm going to say our Ravens moving forward right there at number two.
Ravens
also.
Flock.
Yeah, you know, I got some breathing room in the AFC North, so we'd love to see that. Then we got the Eagles there at 10-2. The Cowboys, obviously, in the same division there in the NFC East. And then the Chiefs there at number five. Can we just start with the 49ers? Because I saw Steve Young today was talking on the radio about how, like, they're just better than everybody. I mean, there's a lot of confidence coming out of the Bay Area right now. What are our thoughts on the Niners at large? And is Brock Purdy's MVP campaign starting to pick up steam?
Oh, no.
It's
Can
happening.
May I recuse myself from the Brock Purdy MVP conversation?
Fair.
It feels like we're in this place where we can't have the two, like this always happens in sports arguments, where there are two sides having different arguments, where the like pro Brock Purdy people are having this argument that's like, people are saying Brock Purdy sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the quote unquote Brock Purdy sucks are like, people are like, Brock Purdy doesn't suck. He's just not the MVP. And everyone's talking past each other and everyone's yelling. And honestly, like, that's, I think, evocative of a lot of people's like holiday tables with extended family. So maybe it's just good practice. I don't know.
I think Thanksgiving got people in the mood to yell. You know what I mean? They got together and they said, it's time. Like, this is our
fine.
Fourth quarter.
Brock Purdy's doing a good job.
It's a good quarterback.
Like, so my thoughts on the 49ers. This is what you actually asked.
Yes, please.
The most dominant team in the NFL. I am so curious for that 49ers-Ravens game that's coming up in a little over a week. It is just, those are the two most complete teams in the league. Right now, if I had to pick a Super Bowl matchup, that's what I would predict. But we get to see them play in the regular season, and I'm just so fascinated to see that game because the 49ers are definitely my top team. But I do think that Baltimore is the most intriguing matchup, and that's a game that I can see going either way. So glad to have those two teams at the top of the power rankings. Still feeling really good about our Ravens, but right now, San Francisco, they're just firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, and Vegas really believes in this team. Obviously, they gave the Eagles 2.5 points at home. The Eagles needed more like 25 points in that game to be able to cover that line. And then this week, they're going to be at home, and they have a divisional rival coming down, the Seahawks, and 10.5 is the line. So that is the respect that Vegas is giving these 49ers right now. So they have earned the spot, I think, number one in the power rankings. No qualms here. I'm not upset. I'm actually tip of the cap to everyone at the Ringer who put that together. Shout out to you, Nora, for your votes. I'm sure you had them there. Let's talk about the Eagles and the Cowboys. Cowboys -3.5 in this game at home. This is pretty much like who's the best in the NFC, right? This is our big takeaway after this game, and maybe some MVP implications as well. Hurts versus Dak. Who's going to end up being the guy in the NFC? How do we feel about this matchup?
Really curious. You know, I wish Hurts, who seems to be a little injured right now, I wish that weren't part of the conversation, just because it would be really nice to get a clean picture of these two teams going up against each other. Mm-hmm. But with the way that Dak Prescott is playing right now, I actually might give the slight edge to the Cowboys. I don't know if I'll feel that way over the course of the entire season. I'm pretty happy with the Eagles being ahead of Dallas in the power rankings sort of overall. But right now, it just feels like that Dallas team is so hot and Dak is playing so well that if I were Philly, I would be pretty nervous about this one.
Yeah, and I feel like the Cowboys, as much as they have dominated the bad teams and had these big blowout wins, it does feel like they need to be a quote-unquote contender so they can say to themselves, we actually are in the mix here. We're not just third fiddle to San Francisco and Philadelphia. We actually are in the mix, because the Niners game, obviously early in the season, was not encouraging, to say the least. So this will be a showdown in the NFC. We're excited about that. We mentioned the Ravens. They have the Rams. Rams coming to Baltimore. Ravens right now +270 to win the AFC. The Chiefs are the favorite at +220. Do you and I have a little steam here where we believe the Ravens will end up winning the AFC? Because I feel kind of good about that right now, Nora.
I do too. I really do too. There's a report out just this afternoon, actually, as we're taping this, that Lamar Jackson missed at least the start of a practice in Baltimore. I don't know if there's been an update on that yet.
He's just resting. I think he's okay.
My initial thought always with Lamar suddenly being out of a random practice is just like, that guy gets a cold or a stomach flu like once a year. Mm-hmm. So maybe let's give him a break.
He's just like us. Everybody gets like sick. Us. Yeah. This is the time of year. People get sick. You get the flu.
We get the sniffles, right. You know, a little tummy ache. It happens. So as long as that is the case, as long as he's healthy, I just think they're so impressive. I think they've shown a lot more than Kansas City has offensively over the course of the year. And that defense is among the best in the league. So, you know, you want to see them avoid the late season injuries that have really hurt them in years past. But I really believe in them.
I think the Ravens, I think this is their year to get over the hump. So I'm not backing down on that opinion. You mentioned the Chiefs. Let's talk Bills at Chiefs. Chiefs -1.5 in this game. I have to ask, who do you trust more right now, Nora? Pat Mahomes or Josh Allen? Because, you know, both these guys are our darling quarterbacks. We all love them. They're the all-American quarterbacks right now in the sport. And they go head-to-head this weekend. Josh Allen needs a big win, and Pat Mahomes needs to get this team back on track.
Who do I trust within the context of their current offenses to score 30 points? Honestly, Josh Allen.
Wow.
That said, who do I trust? The Chiefs or the Bills, who are just like one big media firestorm story after another. They can't get through the day without something just absolutely ridiculous or depressing or upsetting or confusing or just weird happening in Buffalo. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't feel comfortable putting a lot at stake on the Buffalo Bills right now to just take care of business, even though I am desperately hoping that that team will find a way to win some games down the stretch, because they are a better team than some of the other wild card options in the AFC. It would be great to have Josh Allen in the playoffs, but against a really quality opponent, I'm just nervous about them being able to get it done.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand your reservations there. That makes sense. I do want to talk about one team not in the top five that some fans would say, look at the records, they should be in the conversation. Of course, I'm talking about Ace Ventura's favorite team, the Miami Dolphins. And everyone loves Mike McDaniel. The Hard Knocks in season is sweeping the nation. People are talking about this team, but they are not in the top five. Do you think Miami has a case to be in the top five? And do you think Miami has kind of under the radar shown that they still are a contender this year?
I think Miami's a contender. I think Miami is one of the group of teams that can win the Super Bowl. I just think that group is six or seven, and they're not better than any of the five teams that are above them.
Mm. That's a very fair point. And shout out to all the Dolphins fans that are getting upset that they're not in the top five, but maybe it's better to be under the radar. They do have Monday Night Football going against the Titans. So that'll be a game to watch. I don't know what else to highlight about that game, but we will be watching Will Levis versus Tua. So that should be some fun. I like the top five though, Nora. There was a time this season where I thought we were, you know, going to have, you know, big arguments. I was going to storm out and be upset about the Ringer power rankings. But right now, the top five, I really like. And I feel like we've kind of got an idea what this season's going to look like. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about Zach Wilson being fired up to actually start for the New York Jets. How much do we believe him? And of course, Aaron Rodgers, because we have to talk about Aaron Rodgers. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. We're still here with Nora and we're talking NFL storylines. And he is one of my favorite people to talk about. No, I'm not talking about Aaron Rodgers. I'm talking about Zach Wilson. And Zach Wilson, after some comments about him not wanting to be the starting quarterback anymore in New York, it sounds like he is quote unquote fired up to start against the Texans. Buy or sell this, Nora. Do you believe Zach Wilson is fired up to start again for the New York Jets?
I do not believe. I believe that Zach Wilson has agreed to start again for the New York Jets. I do not believe that he is fired up about it.
I can't imagine what that conversation looks like. You know, they've obviously had a lot of conversations with Zach Wilson. There was reports that he was charting his new path post New York Jets. So how do you get a guy to buy back in who allegedly was leaking reports that he was all the way out? And like, what does that even look like? Do we think that Zach Wilson can inspire some hope again? Like, is there, how many chances does Zach Wilson get? I guess with the New York Jets.
Well, the weirdest part of that whole story cycle was that Zach Wilson, or at least there was a report through Zach Wilson's intermediaries that he would entertain or he would think about starting again if the Jets asked him directly, which then brought up the question, who was asking him? Or how were the Jets asking him indirectly, or had they not asked him?
See, these are the good questions. This is what I need. I need Nora. Yeah, you're cutting to the chase on this whole thing. I mean, that's what I'm confused about. And Aaron Rodgers also, he had some quotes on this on the McAfee show. He said, quote, "That's a problem with the organization. We need to get to the bottom of whatever this is coming from, whatever this is coming from, not whoever, but whatever this is coming from, and put a stop to it privately, because there's no place in a winning culture where, and this isn't the only time, there's been a bunch of other leaks." So Aaron Rodgers fired up about the leaks.
He's really, Aaron Rodgers, who's played four snaps for this team in his entire career.
Right. He's like, we got to get our culture together, guys. This is a championship culture. Let's lock it up. I don't really know how and why this is continuing to happen, but it does feel like we're a bit on a roller coaster with this whole storyline of the New York Jets. I mean, does it feel static and stagnant at this point for you, Nora? Because from the outside looking in, from my bird's eye view, it definitely does.
They're 4-8. Like, this right, is the ridiculous. The leaks don't matter. The leaks, the whatever, like, none of it matters. This team is not going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Zach Wilson is pretty irrelevant to the future of the New York Jets. They're just, everyone is hanging out for the next month before they can go home. But because of Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers' weekly paid appearance on the McAfee show and his just like constant need for attention, it has to be this whole big hullabaloo, which, I mean, look, I am a total outsider, but that to me seems as destructive to a winning culture than like someone texting Diana Rossini Mm-hmm. And it just like it, no one there can resist being part of a kerfuffle on a weekly basis. It is just always something. They have managed to make themselves a story every single week of the season that is going to end with the Jets being a mostly non-competitive football team. And I would argue that if I were part of a non-competitive organization, I would want the spotlight as far away from me as possible. I would want to just like, let's get them next year. Let's see if that can work out a little better. And somehow it's like Tim Boyle and Zach Wilson doesn't want to start. And now he's going to, and Rodgers is slinging arrows. And we're paying all of this attention. And the team is not even going to come close to sniffing the postseason. It's just it is miraculous. It is the Jetsiest thing in the world. The Giants have the same record as the Jets. Both New York teams are 4-8. There's not a lot to compliment about the New York Giants right now, but the stories around the Giants are like, Tommy DeVito, he loves chicken cutlets. He lives right with his mom. And then the Jets, it's like everybody hates each other and Zach Wilson is refusing to start for the team. I don't know how they pulled this off.
It does seem toxic, like where Tommy DeVito and like that heartwarming story is like a nice change of pace for New York media. It does feel like at the beginning of the season, and we all saw it with Hard Knocks, it was like a decision was made. We will cover the Jets like a championship team, even though we've never seen that at any level. And we continue to hold them to that standard. And when they try to draw back to their championship run, we all say, oh, that's right. This is the first year of Aaron Rodgers being there. But that's the way that they've been covered. There's been no pivot. It has been nonstop. And like you said, it's a different headline every single week. And it is by design. And as much as like, it kind of reminds me, you know, Deion Sanders was like, I need some privacy, but he said it to People magazine. Like, I've never heard someone say, I need privacy to People magazine.
I mean, that is the best example, because here's the thing. There's no shame in this. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're 4-8. They're not a good team. The star quarterback who they pinned their season's hopes on got hurt 4 snaps into the year.
Which is unfortunate.
It didn't go well.
Yes.
Just retreat into the background. Try to get him next year. There is no, like, this just, it doesn't end well when the quarterback ruptures his Achilles in week one. Just have the sense to accept that and just retreat. Come back next September and try to do it. But they cannot give up the spotlight.
They can't let it go. And we're seeing that in real time. Do you think they have a new head coach next season? Do you think the Jets move on? Because that is another topic of conversation.
I really don't. I think especially that defense, they love Saleh. I think there would be a really like, I think if they made a decision like that, they would be close to in danger of like a locker room mutiny.
Well, there you have it. I think we have the Jets will have some continuity there, we think, with the head coaching position. Let's talk about a place that is trying to figure out who their next head coach is. There have been some reports that Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, is in the running for the Carolina Panthers job, and that apparently he's been getting some texts or messages, whatever it is, basically saying that it is a toxic workplace and that he should watch out if he wants to go there. I don't know how much any of this is true, but just in general, do you think Ben Johnson to the Panthers, do you like the sound of that? Because a lot of people, you know, Ben Solak, for example, wrote a great piece about him and how revolutionary he's been there in Detroit. Do you think that would be a good fit for Bryce Young and the Panthers moving forward? Or are you worried about these toxic reports? Because it's giving very Washington Commanders vibes, to say the least.
I like it for the Panthers. They liked him last year. I think we talked about this at one point. I think it's a little overstated.
He said no, right? Like they asked him to interview and he said no. So that's
something. He did say no, and they were the team that was coming on the strongest, but he said no to a bunch of teams. He said no to a bunch of interviews. I think he did one interview with the Panthers and then declined to go in person for an interview. And at the same time, just took his name out of the running for any head coaching vacancies, said he wanted to stay in Detroit and give it at least another year. So it definitely did seem like he was saying no to Carolina, but he was saying no to other teams too. So I think taking that as clear evidence that what was motivating him was, I don't want to work for David Tepper. I don't want to work in Carolina is maybe a little overstated.
Speaking of the Panthers, that means we're talking tanking. And the Panthers and the Patriots, even though the Bears have the Panthers pick, obviously, they're getting, you know, I'm wondering if there is a world in which the Patriots end up with the number one pick, Nora. And if that were the case, I immediately go to the hypothetical of Caleb Williams and Bill Belichick. Does that marriage work? Like, does that seem possible? Have you started to think about this? How real is this?
Dane, I don't think it seems that possible because I just don't think that there's really any remaining chance that Bill Belichick is in New England next year. So wow. Caleb Williams on the Patriots, totally within the realm of possibility.
Mm, that is wild.
That said,
I can't believe that's the world we're in.
Yeah, I think we're at the end of the line. Like, it seems like the reason, you know, I think they would never fire him midseason for a couple of reasons. I think part of it is just respect. I think part of it is also there's still a solid chance that they could get some trade compensation for Belichick. And if you're the Crafts, if you can work a trade where you get something in return, get a draft pick, also have an opportunity to sort of negotiate who's paying what in terms of the salary, because that's a very high number for Bill Belichick. And you can make it look a little bit respectable. I think you're really excited about that possibility. And you do have the last month of the season to hope another owner makes a call and says, hey, what would that look like? What could we work out here? We don't want to give up a lot in terms of the draft capital, but we could pay him. Or maybe it's an organization like the Chargers that doesn't like to spend a lot of money on head coach, and they might say something different, like, we'll give you a good draft pick, but we need you to pick up X amount of the salary. I think if you're Robert Kraft, you really want something like that to happen. So I don't think he's going anywhere until the end of the year, but I just don't think he's the guy that they're going to want working with. You know, whether it's Caleb Williams or Drake May, like, look at CJ Stroud, right? You can be very happy with the number two pick. So the difference between one and two to me is not such a big deal. It's just whoever the young quarterback is. I don't think the current coaching staff is going to be developing that person.
So let's say the Chargers call, they say, I don't even know. NFL trades are so weird. They're like, let's give you Joey Bosa. And instead of draft picks, we'll give you Joey Bosa, a second round pick. And then you give us Bill Belichick. He's our coach. Who does New England go to? You know, like, who is the first phone call? Who's the ideal? Who's the dream candidate to follow Bill Belichick? Because that's not an easy task either. You know what I mean? When you think about all the coaches that are out there, one name I would be interested in just as an idea. What about Kyle Shanahan? Could they call him and say, we want you. You're the best. We want you to come to New England?
I mean, they could call.
they can
go for it. They can try. I mean, that would have to be another trade situation.
I'm just intrigued, like, who's the answer after Bill Belichick?
Are we doing like a three-team trade where Joey Bosa somehow ends up on the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan's coach of the Patriots and Bill Belichick's coach of the Chargers? And
maybe.
I don't know.
Every NFL trade, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me as far as value. It'll be like a guy I just saw have 17 sacks. He got traded for a six rounder. And then it'll be like the worst quarterback I've ever seen got traded for a second rounder. I you know what I mean? Every single time I'm like, that in my mind doesn't translate.
Just making it up. Everyone's just making it up as they go along. Patriots coach, I think the best bet right now would be Gerard Mayo, who's a guy who they had meetings with last year when he was getting calls about his own ability to take another head coaching job somewhere else. And at least to my understanding, he sat down with the Crafts and there was a discussion about him staying on. And without any guarantees, but there was an idea that there was a path towards his being elevated in that organization in some way. Gerard Mayo is a guy with an incredible reputation. Great player, really, really personable. Guys love him. He's had success in, obviously, in football, but also in media, also in just business outside of sports. So he's someone who, you know, everything he touches seems to go pretty well. That said, I do think that there's a question there of, do you want to, after the latest results, do you want to take someone who was kind of raised as a football person by Bill Belichick. Does that feel good mm-hmm. when some of the problems with the current Patriots, I do think stem from that type of leadership style being a little outdated? And now maybe Jerod Mayo, maybe they know him well enough to know that it's a little bit different. Maybe the fact that he did play and he's been in the room and he knows that kind of mindset, maybe that makes it a little bit different. I think he's the guy that they have their eye on, but I also think that there needs to be a serious discussion about, would it be a better idea, especially with a young quarterback, to try something that's a little bit more of a departure, and particularly someone who might be a little bit more offensive minded.
Yeah. As the world turns in New England, I mean, Brady no more, Belichick no more. Who would have thought that's the world we live in? But that's where we are. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the $22 million man down in Jacksonville.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. We have one more story that we must talk about with Nora. We love throwing out these wild, insane stories. And we say, Nora, please make sense of this. Please try to debunk this as best we can. And there is a story coming out from The Athletic about a Jaguars employee, Mr. Patel, who allegedly used $22 million he stole from the team to purchase a condo, a new Tesla Model 3, a Nissan pickup truck, a $95,000 watch, some NFTs, and a country club membership. He, quote, entered completely fictitious transactions that might sound plausible, but that never actually occurred. And now he has the FBI in his backyard trying to figure out what he did and what he took from the Jacksonville Jaguars. What in the world is going on, Nora? This is the most Florida story I think I've ever seen.
You said the $22 million man in Jacksonville, and I immediately went to the Jaguars contracts page on SpoTrack, and was just trying to find like the worst player on a $22 million contract they have. They're actually, I mean, I don't know, maybe there's a Zay Jones joke there somewhere, but he doesn't deserve that. Josh Allen, 4 years, 22-7.
No, Josh Allen is good. Josh Allen is great.
Josh Allen is giving them every penny. This is super wacky. The funniest part about this story is the way that he did it, the description of this remote credit card program, I think it was called, that this guy ran, was basically just, if you're an employee, you can apply for a business credit card number to be able to use. But it was like this guy, he was the person who started the program. He was the person who managed the program. He was just like in charge of everything.
He said, I got my own system that I use. You guys should sign up for it.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's great.
I would be remiss to mention.
What's your social again? Yeah, send that over.
What's your mother's maiden name?
Yeah, right.
The street you grew up on? Hey, Doug Peterson, I'm just curious. Did you have a childhood pet? And if so, what was that pet's name?
Of course. Had to ask.
There's a Chiefsaholic vibe to this. Mm-hmm. Just curious if anyone's seen those two guys in the same room at the same time.
What are these scandals? Like the NFL now, like there's always some sort of like story or scandal or whatever, you know, underneath the scene that you hear and you're just like, this is crazy. Like how did this happen? And this was found out in February. You know what I mean? Like we find this out however many months later. That's the other crazy part.
Scammers are everywhere, Tate.
Shout out to, yeah, Catch Me If You Can. Great movie. All the con artists that are out there. I don't know how they're getting away with it, but I do think when you spend $95,000 on a watch, I think that's going to get some attention of some people, especially if you just work for the Jaguars, right? I mean, when you have more money than the players.
The biggest piece of news here was that the Jaguars have $22 million laying around.
Right.
Like, can they even pay that credit card statement? I mean, I guess they paid Urban Meyer, but.
Yeah.
Talk about a scam.
I saw a lot of Jags fans. That was a lot of the comments was basically like still a better, you know, signing than Urban Meyer as far as Mr. Patel and his time with the Jaguars. So if anything, he's become a cult hero. He's not even like, so they're not even mad at him. They're just impressed.
People love a scammer.
Yes, that is true. Shout out to all the people out there in Jacksonville, the good people that are not scamming. We appreciate them for holding it down. Also, Trevor Lawrence, that injury, not as bad as it looked in real time. Hendrickson was freaking out like something bad happened. Even Trevor Lawrence seemed like he was, you know, freaking out. But we saw him walking in the tunnel. He looked great today.
Yes, saw him walking into the tunnel. That can't afford a golf cart.
Right.
Now we know why.
He said that he turned down the golf cart. I did see his press conference. He said he turned down the golf cart because he wanted to walk it off. I think he scared himself. And I said this, we were watching at Ringer HQ dead at Spotify. And Sal, when we first saw it, I was like, when he saw Hendrickson praying and reacting the way he did because of how it looked, I think that scared him too. Because he's like, this is terrible. I can't even look at what it is. And then when he stood up, he was like, oh, okay. My foot is here. It has not been torn off. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he slowly like started to be like, okay, it's not as bad as I thought, because I mean, it looked really bad, but luckily it wasn't that bad. And shout out to all the Jags fans. Their quarterback is healthy, and that's a big deal when it comes to the NFL, because we have a whole lot of backup quarterbacks. Nora, where can we find all your amazing work at The Ringer? Thanks so much for coming on the show as always.
TheRinger.com.
Yes.
Every single album.
Yes. Shout out to Taylor.
The Ringer NFL show, Dual Threat, on two days a week with Stephen Ruiz. CJ Beathard, by the way, 2 years, $4.5 million. So well shy of the damage Mr. Patel did in Jacksonville.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to buy as many NFTs with that kind of salary. So poor CJ Beathard. And luckily, he doesn't have to play, Nora, so he still has the best job in the world, backup quarterback. So we'd love to see that. Appreciate you joining the show as always, and we'll see you next week.
Anytime, Tate.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. Joining us now, right after the Lakers and Pelicans just wrapped. You know him from Real Ones. You know him from The Ringer at large. He is Logan Murdoch. Good to see you, man. Long time no see.
I know, man. I wish you was out here, bro. Every time we go to Vegas, we make magic, man. You know how it goes.
Yeah, last time we were there, myself, you, and Tyler Parker had some TV magic. We had some moments there. We had some great times, and wish I was there in the building, but it looked electric. Let's start there, because I want to get your thoughts, boots on the ground. What did you see in the building? Did it have an energy? Did it have an electricity? Can you just give an update for the people that weren't in the building, what it was like to be there?
I think overall, it was a really great night for the NBA in terms of energy, in terms of overall play. You know, you got some moments that we're going to talk about in a minute with Tyrese Halliburton. He's probably the player of the night. And then you got to see LeBron James on the biggest stage so far in this NBA season, and his Lakers just annihilate the Pelicans. But in terms of just outward environment, in the beginning, it was a 2 o'clock local game, the Pacers. The Pacers-Bucks game was an early game, so you kind of seen fans trickle in. At the start, it seemed like a bit of a summer league atmosphere, and then you see right. fans start to trickle in. And by the end, when Tyrese kind of displayed his magic, that's when the energy started to come in. You saw a lot more people in the building, so a lot more people in the game, and then you saw an upset, and that got the semifinals off just right. So overall, I think it was a great day for the NBA. You had a lot of legends in the building. But like every other timeout, they were highlighting a legend. You saw Shaq, Mitch Richmond, Gary Payton, Dr. J was in the building. It was, you know, it was a lot of, it was like a walking baseball card. It was really, really nice to see everybody. But it was a great first night in Vegas for the NBA. And you know, the league should be proud of itself. It was a really good night overall, I think.
I know you're Bay Area because you bring up Mitch Richmond. Shout out to Run TMC there. I'd love to hear that. Love to see that. I want to talk about Tyrese Halliburton because Rick Carlisle after the game said, quote, Tyrese is just one of those transcendent players. With him on the court, anything is possible. In this game tonight, 27 points, 15 assists, 7 rebounds, but the main thing, 0 turnovers. What impressed you the most about what you saw from Halliburton tonight?
I just think he has a constructive arrogance. You know, and he knows how to meet the moment. You know, he knows that he can be one of the best players on the floor, if not the best player on the floor on any given night. And he has the confidence in himself to go through with it. Right. Because the big play of the night was a step back three to seal it.
Right.
Right? But there was a step back before that he missed that everybody in the building thought was going in. And he has that magic to him. And he knows the moment and he knows that he is going to lead his team to victory. You kind of need that in a franchise star. The first thing that I thought about, though, and apologies to all Sacramento fans, but the fact that they traded away a guy that could be one of the faces of the league, it just baffles me at this point. That was a great performance that he put out on the national stage. He met the moment, and it was not only good for him, it was great for the city of Indianapolis, the state of Indiana, and the league overall. To have it was like an arrival for the Pacers. Now there was one arrival about on Monday evening against the Boston Celtics, but I think this was like on a national stage with everybody watching, the center of the universe game. He's delivered, and I think that, you know, everyone is better off for that performance.
Yeah, and you talked about that step back. He did do the Dame Time, you know, celebration there. He didn't do the full thing. He didn't actually tap the wrist, but he did look at his wrist. And, you know, he was asked about it after the game, and Halliburton said, quote, "For sure, I'm a competitor. We put our pants on just the same." And then Dame was asked about it and called it a sign of respect. So was there anything to read into that? I mean, I know KOC was calling him the point god. Was this like a passing of the baton type moment from Dame Lillard to Halliburton? Or was it just more of a, you know, Halliburton was saying, this is my time right now?
I mean, there's no passing of the torches in the NBA. You got to go ahead and take it. And it remains to be seen if the torch was taken, but it was a great first start. And I think that that's great for this Pacers team, which is a young team that wants to make some noise in this league. They have a great coach in Rick Carlisle. And that was another thing that I think was a big turning point. The Bucks just got out coached, man. This is flat, plain and simple. And they got out-coached, they got out-played, and a big part of that was Tyrese Halliburton, because I think Tyrese Halliburton fits the mold that is perfect for the state of Indiana and Indianapolis as a city, right? They feel like they are overlooked. They feel like they are forgotten, not only by the league, but the country at large. And it was Tyrese's time to put the country on notice, and he did. And I think the Dame Lillard celebration was just an extension of that. And I think you know, it was a fun moment, and we'll see how this, not only that moment, but this win catapults them not only for the game on Saturday, the championship game on Saturday, but the season beyond. Because I really, more I see this in season tournament, I see it as a really good opportunity for young teams to take that next step early, because it's a mix of All-Star weekend and the postseason. When you look at the in-season tournament, it's an All-Star weekend atmosphere with all the legends and just like the neutral side and all of that. But these guys are competitive, and these guys bring the energy when it is crunch time. And for a young team to be able to meet the moment in front of all of these fans and the world watching, that was a big step for the Indiana Pacers and Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, so they beat the Celtics. They beat the Bucks. When we talk about the Eastern Conference, we obviously talk about those two teams and then the Philadelphia 76ers. Obviously, the Miami Heat are in that conversation. Do we think that the Pacers are legit contenders at this point in the Eastern Conference? Do we think that they can build some confidence and end up being one of those teams that can come out and actually win the East?
I think that they're one of the teams that's building confidence, I think, by the game. I would not put the contender thing on them just because I just don't want to put too much pressure on them too early.
I like your pace.
They're there yet. I think that they're just a really good team that probably got really hot. I think is in the postseason, they are going to make some noise and probably win some games they're not supposed to because they're so well coached, because they have that confidence that's been building over the last few games. And as you build that over months and months and months and believe you can win, I think that, you know, they're going to have they could have a deep playoff run. Now, contending for a title, I think that's a bit too early just because this group hasn't seen the postseason just yet. And there's a big difference between, as you know, Tate, the regular season and the postseason, just from the physicality standpoint. You are getting scouted every day in every game on a game-by-game basis. They have to take their lumps through that process. And I think once they do that, they'll be in a good place. But I think, you know, I wouldn't put too much pressure on it just yet. They still don't play a lick of defense at this point. They still need to figure out a lot of things on that end of the floor. But they're a confident bunch, and they have their star, and that's a great start.
Yeah, and we got the Shaq moment. I don't know if you saw this because you were actually in the arena. During the TNT broadcast, Shaq called Tyrese Halliburton Trey, and then he tried to blame it on the cannabis that was being smoked in the crowd around him. Do we think, like, the general audience and Shaq himself can now – do we think that, like, Tyrese Halliburton's a household name coming out of this? Is he, like, in the MVP conversation? Will we all be going back from this tournament and saying, you got to talk about Tyrese Halliburton, and if we don't, we actually will be doing a disservice to basketball at large?
I do want to see how the season progresses from this, right? Because it is December, right? After all this hoopla, it's still only December. And during a normal season, maybe not a normal season, but a season, you know, prior, this would just be the start of the NBA season. It would be a great start to the season. I want to see what he does in January, February, and March as the season continues to progress. This is a great start to a really good campaign, but I want to see him finish it through before I make all these grand declarations just because he won a big game on a national scale. The key is to keep showing improving at this level before you get to the MVPs, the contender status. It's about consistency, and that's what the Pacers need to continue to do.
Yeah, and Tyrese Halliburton, he has a great meme going around right now where he said, I'm tired of being a loser. So, you know, right now he is the winner, and he's going to go up against the Lakers. Let's talk about the Bucks quickly because they are contenders. They have Dame Lillard. They have Giannis Antetokounmpo. With those two guys, Giannis obviously 37-10 in this game. Dame, 24 points. Are we a little concerned at all about this performance from the Bucks side, or do we expect them to continue to gel and be a contender once we get to their prime time of the playoffs?
In theory, they should be a contender. They have Damian Lillard. They have Giannis. They need to continue to figure out what their partnership looks like. And that takes time, right? And where they are in sync on any given play. And I don't think that they're there yet right now when it comes to pick and rolls, when it comes to just finding each other without having verbal communication. And when they get to that point, I think they could be a special unit as a tandem, but right now, they still need to work out the kinks on that. And again, it's December. I don't want to look too deep into it, but they got to continue to make strides with their partnership and figure out how their partnership is going to last throughout the season. So it's only December. They are a contender. They're still one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. A lot of teams can do a lot worse than having Giannis and Dame on their team. I think the Bucks will be fine. They got some stuff to figure out, though.
So there you have it, Logan. I like the way that you're talking about this. I like your hesitation when it comes to make these declarations. That's what we're supposed to do. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to make some declarations about LeBron James and this Lakers team because, you know, that's what everybody wants to do because we're in Vegas right now. So we'll be right back and we'll talk about this Lakers team. Yeah. Welcome back to Through the Ringer. We're here with Logan Murdoch, who is in the arena, in T-Mobile Arena right now, live from Las Vegas. We just saw the Lakers absolutely destroy the Pelicans. LeBron James, 30 points in 23 minutes. Let's start there. What was it like to see LeBron in this mode from the jump in this game?
It was interesting because when LeBron wants to be competitive and he turns that on, there's no one in the world that can stop him, man. He wanted this game from the onset. When he was taking charges on Zion and hitting threes, it was over from the beginning. And I think that's the big difference between when you talk about a Lakers team with, you know, veteran guys like LeBron and AD, future Hall of Famers, and you see a Pelicans team that's double-dutching and fake weight going into contention and not really knowing what they are in this world. You see the difference between two teams. I mean, the Pelicans came out and were absolutely horrendous to start this game. It was an embarrassment to the sport of basketball. And LeBron and AD just tag teamed and just beat them to a pulp. It was really boring in the second half. That third quarter was an annihilation. It was an embarrassment for the New Orleans Pelicans. And the Lakers should be going to the championship round as they are. And they're going to live up to my pick as the champion of this in-season tournament, it seems like. So go Logan, and you know, we'll see what happens with the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, go Logan, go Lakers. LeBron, 21 first half points in this one, 30 total, like I said, 4-4 from three. So that was all good stuff for him. And then afterwards, LeBron was asked about Las Vegas. He tends to like Las Vegas. He's always there for Summer League. He said, quote, "Hopefully I can bring my franchise here one day. That's the ultimate goal." How do we feel about that? Do we think this is setting the table for LeBron James to be an owner of whatever Las Vegas team ends up coming to the NBA?
So I'm going to clarify that. He said that actually before the game, and Jomie from the Ringer's Own. The Ringer's Own, Jomie, asked the question. So shout out to Jomie. We out here deep in Vegas. But
I'm so proud of Jomie, by the way. Just a side tangent. Shout out to Jomie.
Isn't that great? Isn't he the GOAT? He's the GOAT.
he's working on it.
In terms of a team in Vegas, one, it's going to happen. I think it's the arms race of who is going to be the owner and ownership group of said team. Now, LeBron wants to do it. It remains to be seen who he's going to partner with, probably the Fenway Group. Will they have enough money to get an organization here? Are they going to partner with someone else and be able to get the capital and the arena built to be able to house an NBA franchise? That remains to be seen. But the big thing is Vegas is coming to the NBA. I mean, Vegas is going to be here. It makes too much sense not to, with the gambling laws the way they are right now and just the overall interest in the sports boom that is happening here in Vegas. It makes complete sense for Vegas to have a National Basketball Association franchise. It is happening. It just is a matter of when and who is going to own the team.
Yeah, and you have the Aces there already, and the Aces are basically a super team in the WNBA. So you already have pedigree there in Las Vegas when it comes to basketball products. So the NBA is happy about that market, and they'd obviously be happy to have LeBron James be a part of it in some capacity. Now I have the million-dollar question for you, Logan. Who wins the in-season tournament? We got the Pacers, who everybody has fallen in love with. We got the Lakers, who are the supreme blue blood of the NBA. If you had to guess right now, are you going to line up with your original pick? Are you going to take the Lakers to win this game?
I'm going to take the Lakers, but I am curious to see what the Pacers do in this type of environment, right? Like, this is a team that seems to seize on the big moments, and that's the difference between a team like, let's say, I don't know, the Sacramento Kings, right, who are ascending, but when it's time to win a game so far in their young time has not won the right games, whereas the Pacers have seemed to win the right games when the spotlight is on them. Now, the spotlight will be on the Pacers. I do wonder how they're going to come. I don't think they're going to do a better job than the Pelicans did against the Lakers, but ultimately I'm going to pick the Lakers to win the in-season tournament. Just because, like I said today, when LeBron wants to turn it on and be that competitive person, there's no one on this planet that can match that. And I think that he really wants to win this in-season tournament. He put it in his mind very early once he got close to it. Oh, we're going to win this thing. And I think that's going to hold true on Saturday evening.
Yeah, I like that pick. And these teams have not played each other this season, so we don't have any tape to see how they actually match up with each other. So it will be a fun game. Will be an interesting game. Logan, one more thing before I let you go. We got Nelly. We got TLC. You know, leading into the game, did you watch any of the concert? And if you did you have thoughts? I mean, it was basically like an NBA versus. They had like Allie LaForce out there being like, "Who do we like, Nelly, or do we like TLC?"
You know, I was hella mad because for some reason I thought it was going to be on the court. I don't know why I was thinking that it was going to be on the court, and I was like, "Well, when is it going to happen?" And I didn't get to see it. They were like, "No, it was outside," and I was like, "Damn." Well, I don't know, but in the I'm not going to lie. I think I'm going to pick. I don't know. I have no idea. I just want to see it. I'm just mad that I didn't see it. I have no idea what I'm going to pick because I love both of them. They both got bangers. I don't know what to say, but you know, shout out to both of them.
Shout out to both of them. I don't think it should have been a versus situation. Nelly did a great job. TLC did a great job.
Why would you
want to
do that?
I don't want to pit them against each other.
For the FanDuel audience and through the Ringer audience. I just have a hot take real quick. Let's end the verses, bro. That was a pandemic thing. Ain't nobody trying to see all that stuff, man. We're just trying to see the hits. We're just trying to see the hits. We're not trying to see nobody compete with each other. We're just trying to see the hits. Who's going to open and who's going to close? Forget the verses. That's a thing of the past. Old news. Get up out of here.
Yeah, and that was when we were at home.
Old stuff.
Yeah, stop copy and pasting. Shout out to Diggy back in the day. Thanks for watching. This has been Through the Ringer. Logan Murdoch, where can we find all your amazing work before you get out of here?
You can find me on X or whatever the hell they call it at Logan M. Murdoch. You can also find me on Threads or whatever the hell they call it at Logan M. Murdoch. You can find me on Instagram or whatever the hell they call it at Logan M. Murdoch. I'm around. Y'all know the vibe. And catch me at the Ringer. And then also catch us, real ones. I just met Raja in Vegas. Catch real ones Mondays and Thursdays. You know where to go. Ringer NBA show. We tapped in. Shout out to Tate.
Yeah. Appreciate you, Logan Murdoch. Go listen to Real Ones. It's a great podcast. They do a great job. And this has been a fun show. We got to have you back. Thanks to everybody for watching Through the Ringer. And we will see you next week with Cousin Sal. We'll see you then.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.